Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Everybody good? Thumbs up? We have to be, right? Praise the Lord. Yeah, we're victorious in all things, and I just thank God for that. Well, this has been burning on my heart this week. We've been seeing a lot, hearing a lot, certainly a lot going on in the earth. And see what the whole lot of shaking going on? Some amazing things are happening, the acceleration of things that are going on. My rabbi friends tell me what's going on in Israel, and I'll tell you what, there is a whole lot going on in the connection. So we're going to see some things folding together here, I think, in the next few years that are going to be astounding as the scripture comes and unfolds before us. I want to talk to you today about advancing the kingdom of God. Amen. Last week we looked in, we actually have been spending Wednesday nights. I shared with you about our vision. We spent several weeks on that at the beginning of the year. The vision of the church and how we have purposefully chosen topics to equip the saints for the work of ministry, Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And we have purposely focused the teaching, and we're inviting conference speakers that will enable the teaching that's taking place. So Daniel and myself, we've been kind of looking at advancing the kingdom, looking at the scriptures on Wednesday night. We had some really awesome discussions the last couple of Wednesday nights, getting into those places where the tension in scripture. So I want us to look at, last week I preached on the kingdom of God, and we looked at the fact that how many spiritual kingdoms are there?
Two.
All right. Kingdom of God and kingdom of darkness. Many would try to say, well, no, there's more than that. Well, no, there isn't. From the spiritual side, there isn't. In fact, it's really clear there's actually two kings and two kingdoms. Colossians, we shared this last week. I'll just ask you to open if you hope. Y'all need to get a Bible, right? I know that somebody showed me they've been able to highlight their phone and all that. It doesn't. It's not the same. I'm sorry. I am just telling you that there's something about having this translated word. This is a parallel Bible. It's got King James on one side, New Living Translation on the other. That's called the People's Bible. But it's got, I just encourage you to get the word so that you can, when you see it, we know this as teachers, you know this. When you see it, you hear it, and you speak it, the retention is there. And so there's something about, I'm having such a hard time with this Bible I've had so long. It's fallen apart in the back, and I've got all these prophecies of things from written down, and it's like I'm translating this now into my new Bible that's not falling apart, but this is like so precious. I know where that word is, right on the right side, the upper corner. Yeah, anyway. So I just encourage you. Colossians, Paul writes in Colossians in chapter 1. I read it during communion, but I want to reiterate it again. In Colossians 1, he writes to the church. It was a church plant. Paul actually didn't plant the church at Colossus. It was a church plant off of Ephesus where Paul spent a fair amount of time. But he writes this letter to the church at Colossus, and he says, chapter 1 and verse 11, I pray that you'll be strengthened in all his glorious power, and you'll have endurance and patience that you need. You'll be filled with joy, always thanking the Father that he's enabled us to share in the inheritance. But then he makes this statement, and if you look at the King James, he, Christ, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of his Son. The kingdom of his dear Son, he purchased our freedom. This power in darkness, if you've ever met people who have come into witchcraft, been involved in satanic ritual abuse. I was thinking when we were worshiping here, singing about the power of the blood and the power of his name. Two times came to mind. I was in Tanzania with, and some of you were on that trip with me. I think we had 16. We went with Leif Hetland. He has the ministry called Global Awareness. He had over 200 pastors he was sharing. He's led over 1.5 million Muslims to the Lord. And he said, I need you to come with me, and I want you to run the deliverance tents. We're gonna go to all these cities where my churches are, and there's witchcraft there. It's really dark. There's the Muslim faith is advanced, and it's just, I just need you to come. I said, well, I'm going to pray about that. You know, I won't go anywhere without hearing the word of God, the strategy of God, and the timing of God, right? Well, we got confirmation upon confirmation. In fact, we're doing a House of Mercy ministry, and Tony Barrows, where's Tony? There's Tony. I think it was Tony and another lady named June were ministering at House of Mercy. This lady came in, and I don't know if you remember this. She said, we were praying. I'd ask the intercessors, pray if we're supposed to go to Tanzania, because I need to know the word of God. I trust Leif. He's an apostolic leader, but I need to know that's our assignment, right? And so we started praying. This lady came in, sat down in front of them, and they were prophesying and praying over her, and then she said, now I got a word for you. Says, I see you ministering in Africa. I forget the name of the mountain that goes up above the clouds. And they said, would that be Kilimanjaro? That's it. You're going to be there. In fact, you're going to see it. Well, when we went there, we actually stayed at a coffee plantation in the team, and we came out and we stood, and there you could see the mountain hidden in the clouds. I said, that's the fulfilled prophecy. Go on. Well, so we were in this town. Talk about the power of darkness. When a group of people come together and open the door to sin, there's darkness that's authorized to be there. Spiritual darkness, principalities and powers that Daniel talks about, right? And so, and there's an engagement in that food fight in the spirit. Well, there was darkness there. And I remember this just struck me with the power of his name, the power of the blood. And so we arrive in Boma, House of Cows, 5,000 plus people. Half of the village is Muslim. And I was told to go into this cow field, and they set up this broken down altar there, stand on and preach the gospel, invite people to come. Well, they put posters all over the city with my face and the other four pastors, which I thought, that's not really great if you know about witchcraft and curses, but hey, okay, it's out there. So I got a name plastered all over the region, and we get there, and the night before, the mosque decided that they were going to have a conference in advance of the Christian coming. Well, it just so happens that the place we're set up in the cow field is next to the mosque. And in Swahili, they've got a broadcasting thing going out. I've got a translator, and I'm like, I hope my team's not hearing what that's coming out of that translation, out of that speaker, because it would have scared you, and it scared me, being honest with you. And I sat there as they were doing the dance with the church, and they were getting ready for me to speak, and it was like went on for like an hour. And I'm sitting there like, Lord, are we supposed to get up here and do this? I saw people in the crowd. I counted, estimated 1,000 people in the crowd in the field. And Lord, I'm going to get up and do a mass deliverance, invite people to receive Jesus, going to pray for the sick. And here's the word, maybe you should go home. Did I tell you to be here? Do you believe in the power of God? I'm just being honest with you. It's like, I don't want to be presumptuous. Lord, I don't want any of my team going home in a body bag. Some of them are sitting there in the back. We got people in full burkas. All you see is their eyes. You got these men in the back, very back there. And I'm like, they don't look friendly. They don't look like they're ready to receive. And that's what I heard. Go big or go home. And I ask the Lord, does Psalm 91 really apply now? Can I live under the sheltered place of the Most High? Can you deliver me from that hand? Will you spring the snare of the fowler? Have you got angels on assignment to protect us so we won't dash our foot on us? I'm rehearsing these words, like, and I'm there smiling and thanking to all the dancers. Oh, God, I'm just being honest. And so I got up and I preached that morning till lunch about salvation and the power of God. I thought, that's good. We broke for a short period of lunch, came back at 1 o'clock. The crowd had gone from 1,000 to over 4,000, I estimated. And I'm like, Lord, they didn't hear the first part of the message. What do I do now? I got up and I bound every powerful darkness in the name of Jesus. His name is power. The kingdom is not a matter of talk, it's power, right? So I got up, I said, Lord. Now fortunately, the year before, I had been in Argentina, and Carlos Anacondia was there, and there was set up, too long to tell that story. He met us, he was in the hotel for the first time in 10 years in Resistencia when we arrived that weekend to preach at a ministry there, and we ended up connected with him. He laid hands on us for impartation. He wrote a book called Listen to Me, Satan. I saw him get up in front of 10,000 people in Resistencia and say, "Listen to me, Satan." And I'm like, that guy is like, wow, he's got identity. And then 2 days later, he lays hands on me and my team. Pow, right, Mama? Where's Mama? We all got blasted, right, Pat? We got blasted. And so I remember that standing in Argentina, that motion in Argentina. Now I'm standing in Tanzania. I said, "Lord, why did you give that impart?" So I got up and I said, "Lord, in the name of Jesus." And I bound injuries and accidents and death and violence. And when I did the altar call, 250 came to Christ. It's the largest salvation. I think we might have had it in Spain last year. But I was like, God, your name is power. So when he say he's translated us from the kingdom of darkness, that name is power. And so we need to get this identity. We've been looking at identity in Christ in us. Who are we? Because the kingdom wants to advance. So let me ask the question, is the kingdom advancing in your life right now? Is it advancing in your family? Is it advancing in this church? Is it advancing in the region, in the world? Because I'm going to read you some scripture. The kingdom is advancing. The question is, are we part of the advancement? And then we looked at last week, who's in the kingdom of God and who's not? And we looked at the attributes of those who are not in the kingdom and those who are in the righteous part of the kingdom. And it comes down to lifestyle. And we listed a whole bunch. If you didn't see it, go online and get last week's sermon. Because we're at war. Revelation 12, we looked at this. Revelation 12 says the devil has declared war against the remnant and all who keep and maintain their testimony in Jesus. There's a maintenance part of our testimony in Jesus. It's your lifestyle. Not perfection, because we all have our times where we are weak. And I love that scripture in Hebrews 4 where Jesus, he says he knows all your weakness. He can compassionately relate because he was tempted in all ways like you and me. That's to have a Savior who knows about our weakness and is compassionate. That ought to do something to warm our heart. Lord, you know how hard this can be. Yeah. But I didn't sin. And so you can walk this out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So now we want to look at this kingdom advancing. And we want to kind of look at some scripture. So if you look at your handout, advancing the kingdom of God. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. Very interesting scripture. We spent probably maybe a good portion of Wednesday night kind of looking at this scripture and kind of debating some of the stuff that's in chapter 11 directly from Jesus and about John the Baptist. I want to look at that this morning. Top of your outline there, it says, from the time of John the Baptist, from the time, see, there are epochs, there are moments in time that you and I all have, but there are moments where God inbreaks at that moment. This is one of them. In fact, we're about to see the separation between Old Testament and New Testament. There's a separation that's about to take place, and it's right on the place where John the Baptist is. We'll find that and see that in a minute. From the time of John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Forcefully advancing, New Living says, and the violent people are attacking it. That's the New Living Translation version. Let me read you the King James. Matthew 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So one says there's violent taking it by force, and the other one says that violent people are attacking it. I looked up seven different translations on this scripture, and there's debates on both sides of this all over. This is that place in tension. Well, so the kingdom's advancing. No one's arguing that. So is it being stopped and hindered by violent people? Well, yeah, we know that. The Nigerians, look at Kent, who's in Mozambique. Boko Haram is beheading Christians that we planted churches with. People we met there are no longer alive because they've died for their faith. So there are violent ones attacking the church. But then it says, but the violent then take it by force. Some of the translations, they go back to the original, and it says, no, there's a passion. There's a eagerness. There's an emotion in the people of Christ who are advancing that kingdom because it will not be stopped. So I said, Lord, which one is it? He goes, I like both. It's true. The kingdom will advance against those that are trying to hinder it, because the gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? Didn't he tell us that? Yes. And then it says, and then there's this passionate group of believers. It's not the ones that are asleep in the pew. It's like, if God wants to work, he can do whatever he wants. No, they are up and about. What are you about today, Lord? Right? So I like both of those. So whatever translation you read and like, I think it fits both ways. And when the theologians argue, it's kind of like once saved, always saved, or no, you can lose your salvation. This is not a hill to die on. This is a hill we can argue about, right? And both work. But we're going to focus on the advance of the kingdom. And what did he say about John? Well, first, look at the definition at the top there. What's in advance? Moving forward in a purposeful way. The kingdom of God is moving forward in a purposeful way. In fact, we can pray and we intercede, and I love what God does in intercession. We can see things that have moved in as a result. But there is a time when God's going to insert himself, just like he did in the first coming. There's a second coming, and on that's where Jesus told us how many times in Matthew 21, Mark 13, Luke 21, he says, watch and pray. You don't know the day I'm coming back. It'll catch you like a thief in the night, right? So there's that moment where we're supposed to be awake and be ready. And so it is advancing, but there's a moment in time where you're going to pull that curtain back and it is going to be over. And so we see the advancing is a purpose. What? He already told us what's going to happen. You often hear this say, you know, I read the book and we win. I like that. He tells us what he's going to do, how it started in the beginning. He tells us what's happened throughout, and then he says, how's it going to end? So we have this truth in us that the Holy Spirit said he would reveal to us, but then it says it moves forward in time. It's another definition of advance. Advance also means it rises in value. The more I walk with the Lord and the more I see his grace and I see the value of the kingdom, that's why Paul tells us in Ephesians, I think it's in chapter 2, he says, the fathomless riches of God, the immeasurable richness of Christ, the kingdom. He goes, you know, let your roots go down into his marvelous love. And it's like, well, how much of the kingdom do you want? How much are you pursuing? And so we also look there, the two spiritual kingdoms. You can look at that in Colossians. There are two. This was an interesting scripture. I didn't share this much last week. I don't think I shared it all. Two fathers and two sets of children. And I listed there Father God, which Galatians 3 says, because of faith in Christ, you are also part of the kingdom. There's no longer male, female, Greek, Jew, right? We're all one in the Spirit. That's Galatians chapter 3. He says, you're all children of God. Then he goes on and he has this interchange with the Pharisees. And I looked at it there in John chapter 8, 8:39 through 47. There's an interaction there that the Pharisees come, they think because of their pedigree. Well, I'm a Jew by birth. So was Paul and Saul. And they have this argument, and Jesus says, if you knew who the real Father was, then you would know who I am. But since you don't, you're actually children of the devil. That's not a great thing to tell a bunch of rabbis. And so they get in this really violent, but they had already plotted to kill him. They plotted to kill Jesus, and so he exposes the hypocrisy, and he says, if you were truly believers and knew who God was, if Abraham, your father, was really rooted and grounded in the kingdom, you'd know who I am. But you're not. So now you're children of the devil. So now they plot even more. We got to eliminate this guy, right? And so he tells them, you're actually just like your father, a murderer from the beginning, liar. I mean, that's a rough sermon. How'd you like that from your pastor? Oh, yeesh. Like, Jesus, you're not winning friends here. He didn't come to win friends, right? I don't think. He's not opposed to friends. He says, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. But there's a part of that that you have to be part of. So he goes on. Then, so this is really questions I have. You see that in the middle of the page? The real question is, who's your daddy? That's a serious question. Because one day you'll stand and give account. who's your daddy, right? And so we want to answer that. And if you go to last week and you look at the lifestyle that helps you in the, it's not about works, right? We know it's not about works, but it is about works once you're in the kingdom, right? He planned good works for you. So he talks about, Jesus says, those who enter by the narrow way, the narrow gate, and he says, I'm the gate in John 10:10. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, right? I am the good shepherd. I've come to give life in all of its abundance, he tells us in John. He says, but those who have lost go by the wide way. But once you get through the narrow gate, it's really wide in there, and like, okay, demonstrate now that your faith by your lifestyle and your works that he created for you in the beginning of all time, before the foundation of the earth, Ephesians 2, that you should walk in them. So he's got a whole list of works that you're supposed to be doing for the advancement of the kingdom that he planned before before the foundation of the earth. He told Jeremiah, he told David, I knew you before you were born. David writes in Psalm 139, when I was formed in the secret place of my mother's womb. So it's like, so once we get in, it's like, okay, how's the kingdom advancing in my life? We all have to have that expectation and ask the Lord for that. Not of works, you know, you could sit there, I'm so glad I'm not like that sinner. There's a place in the books where he says, be careful, right? Keep that humility on, because we want to love him and serve him, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace that you've been saved, right? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It's by the grace of God. So I want to read the rest of Matthew, parts of it here, because I want to ask you a question, which I think is a very interesting thing to think about. So we know that John the Baptist has now been arrested. This is in the sequence here of time. He's exposed King Herod's adultery. He's living with his brother's wife, is at that point. So John's in prison, and he knows that it's probably about ready to lose his head. And you know what happens after Herodias' daughter dances for Herod, and she asks for the head of John the Baptist to shut him up. You can't stop the kingdom. You can try to kill his saints, but you can't stop this kingdom advancing. So John 11, he says, Matthew 11, verse 1. When Jesus had finished giving these instructions to the 12, he went out to teach and preach in the towns throughout the region. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. Interesting. Heard all the things the Messiah was doing. Verse 2 of King James says, John had heard in prison the works of Christ, and he sent two of his disciples out. And they asked this question. So John, so it's an interesting, John is the one, when Jesus came to him, the Lord had already told John the Baptist, the one you see the Spirit of God ascending on, that's the Messiah. He comes to John in the river and says, John, baptize me. And John says, I'm not worthy to undo your sandals. No, you need to be, he says, John, it needs to be so. And of course, you know what happens. He baptizes him in Luke chapter 3. The Father speaks, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him, right? The Holy Spirit falls on Jesus. And right after that, it says, now Jesus, you look at this in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It says, now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, is led by the Spirit to be tempted of the devil. That's an interesting scripture. If you think you can fight the devil without being water baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus didn't do it. I don't know why we think we can. And like, so you know how to be baptized, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The devil will tempt you and try you, but if you want to win, that looks like a good example of what you could do to win that fight. And so we go on, and it says, he asked the question, are you the Messiah? Verse 3. Matthew 11, 3, that we've been expecting, or should we look for someone else? Jesus told them, go back and tell John what you've heard and what you have seen. See, this is power. It's not only words, it's power. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, the good news is preached to the poor, and also tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Those who don't get offended, like in John 6 that I read, eat my body and drink my blood, or you're not worthy of being mine, they were offended, and some of those who were walking with him walked with him no more. Jesus will offend your flesh. Oh, and then there's a choice. I love what the disciples said. I don't know what you just shared, but I know that when I walk with you, I'm alive. So we're going to keep walking, right? And so we're alive in Christ, but there will be those things that it could be a certain, I don't know what you're doing right now, Lord. I'm very confused. I had somebody in my office this week, circumstances like, I'm so confused. I don't know what God's doing right now. I said, there's a lot of mystery in the walk of the kingdom, but he's faithful. Stay. What does it mean to persevere? I got more questions than I got answers. Persevere. He's always good. I love what Bill Johnson says. Real simple. God is good. Devil's bad. You don't need to know anything else. Right? How many times we looked at it? How many gazillion times? God is good. God is good. God is good. Okay. Let's read on. So they go back and they tell John. And then Jesus turns to the disciples that were there. And he says, when John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began talking to the crowd, and he asked this of the crowd, what kind of man did you go to see in the wilderness? Was he a weak reed, swayed in every breath and wind? Or were you expecting to see a man dressed in expensive clothing? No, the expensive clothing lives in palaces. Were you looking for a prophet? Yes. And he's more than a prophet, speaking of John. John is the man to whom the scriptures refer to when they say, look, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare the way before you. I tell you the truth. All who ever have lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he is. And from the time of John the Baptist preaching began until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and the violent people are attacking it. For before John came, all the prophets of the law of Moses looked forward to this present time. And if you are willing to accept what I say, he is Elijah, the one the prophet said would come. And anyone who hears should hear and listen and understand. To what I can compare this generation to, the children were playing a game in the public square, and they complained that to their friends, we played wedding songs and you didn't dance. We played funeral songs and you didn't mourn. For John didn't spend his time eating and drinking, and you say he's possessed by a demon. The Son of Man, speaking of Jesus, on the other hand, feasts and drinks, and you say he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is shown to be right by its results. King James says, but wisdom is justified by her children. So I ask the question. He says, Jesus said, remember Elijah, the last scripture of the last Old Testament chapter in Malachi, chapter 4. He says he's preparing a way and Elijah will come and turn the hearts of the father to the children. And then there's 400 years of absolute silence in scripture until Jesus is born and John the Baptist is born. And the angels come and break in at that moment in time and we see what happens here. So Jesus is saying, John, of all the Old Testament, he's the greatest. Moses, David, Jeremiah, Joshua. Like, wow. So what was it about John? And then he makes this astounding statement. Anyone who is in the kingdom of heaven, if you've been translated to the kingdom of his dear son, you're greater than John. The least of the least of the ones who've been born into the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. So I ask you, why? What do we have in this side of the kingdom that John did not have? Holy Spirit. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday night. If you go look at in Luke's gospel, and it says John was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth, right? Remember when Elizabeth, who's in her old age, is now pregnant at 6 months. So she's showing, but she's hiding out in the house because I'm probably thinking, the neighbors are probably thinking, that old lady's pregnant, you know? And so she didn't go until Jesus, the little Jesus, he's at this point when Mary gets invited to become the mother of the Most High God, and she says, let it be done unto me. And oh, by the way, the angel says, by the way, your cousin Elizabeth, who's 3 days' journey from where you are right now, she's pregnant also. Mary gets up, travels the 3 days. The moment Mary walks into the house where Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, the baby leaps in the womb, and then there's a prophecy spoken out of Elizabeth's mouth. How is it that the mother of my Lord would come to me? Come on, this is like... Jesus, he's a zygote about this big. You can't stop the kingdom of God from advancing. And so we see this. It says, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Not all the Old Testament people were. There were times when the Holy Spirit fell on them to do great works. Right? So it was rare, but what happens to the kingdom of heaven, which is near and is soon to advance? He says, I'm about ready to be crucified, and I tell you what they're going to do to me, Jesus tells his followers. And then he says, after I'm crucified, you're going to see the Father is going to send the power. They don't get it. It's like they think he's going to probably start a revolution, overthrow Rome. So when he dies on the cross, they're like scattered, denying, even cursing. I don't know him. So the fear of man and the fear of retribution, all that's happening. They're hiding out. And then something happens. Jesus appears. The resurrected Christ shows up. And I got to tell you, if you saw Christ die, and then he shows up there, shows Thomas's the scars, and he's my Lord, something transitions, says, then he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And what happens? The transition, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift I told you about, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 4. You're going to become powerful and you're going to be witnesses. You're going to be baptized. John said you would be baptized with fire. One's coming after me. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with fire. And when that fire falls, you're going to be my witnesses. You're going to go to Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost, because the kingdom's going to advance. And I'm going to use you who are the least in the kingdom but are greater than all the Old Testament, because you're going to have the kingdom of God in you. Woo! But what else changed? Well, we know Acts chapter 2 happened. Don't leave Jerusalem till the Father sends the promise. And then, boom, he comes. Tongues of fire on their head. They're speaking, they're actually preaching the gospel in all different languages that they don't know, but they're languages of men. Acts, we know from 1 Corinthians 13, there's also languages of angels, Paul tells us. But we know that this, they're speaking to men from all over. There's estimated there were 1 million that had come. 1 million Jews had flooded Jerusalem who had come into that region for the festival. The week before he rides the donkey colt, Zechariah's prophecy, the king shall come riding humbly on a colt, never ridden before. We've got donkeys and horses. Sarah's right now raising a horse. You can't ride her right now. He gets on an unbroken colt, the first time ridden, and comes in like a humble servant, and they worship. 1 million people are in Jerusalem. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they lay down their coats. You have a good coat, you don't lay that on the ground for donkeys to ride on. Donkeys leave things, right? And but they didn't care. He's Hosanna. He's the one. And he's riding on a donkey colt. That prophecy was fulfilled. What changed? A week later, crucify him. And they're afraid, but then Acts chapter 2, power comes. And you know them, the one Saul who becomes Paul, Peter, who ran away and denied Christ 3 times. He gets up in the middle of, after the the healing at the gate beautiful of the man who's crippled from birth, seeing that he had faith. Paul says, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I give to you, rise up and walk. And it causes a whole bunch of stuff to go on in Jerusalem. Who is this? I don't know who these guys are, but we know they hung with Jesus. Like, that's all you need to know. They were with Jesus. And it says, they challenge him. You need to stop talking about Jesus. You think we're going to listen to you and not obey the Christ whom you crucified? Boy, what a bolt. What a shift from running away when a little servant girl says, did you know Jesus? No, I didn't know him, and runs away. And now it's like, yeah, I know him, and I'll honor his name. You think the kingdom's going to advance with the boldness of Christ, those who are filled with the power of his name? Yes. And it's been going on ever since. And so I would suggest the power of the Holy Spirit that was birthed from Acts chapter 2, the gift of the Father that Jesus, in the words of his own mouth in Luke chapter 11, when the disciple says, teach us to pray. And he shows them how to pray, and he says, if an evil father can give good gifts to his child, how much more would the heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? As children of God, because we're translated into the kingdom of light, we've got to ask the Father for the gift that he gives, which is the Holy Spirit, which will then lead you into what is your assignment? What are you going to hear? Because Jesus said, it's good I go away. John 14, 15 and 16 chapter, it's good I go away, because when I go away, the Father will send you the Spirit of truth. And he will lead you, he will guide you in all truth. You can't bear the truth right now. It's just like, but I'll tell, he says, I will tell you, John 16, I will tell you everything I told you before, and I'll show you what's in the future. So when you start reading the scripture right now and you realize what's happening, when the rabbis are saying they've got four heifers that are ready in Jerusalem, they're going to build the temple, and Saudi Arabia is about ready to make agreements with Israel, we're sitting on a precipice of epoch time that could be just before us. This is not a mistake. And it's time for the kingdom to advance in power. We've heard from many, many a prophet, there's going to be an outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. And millions are going to come to Christ. And guess what? What would happen if a miraculous thing started happening in this region? And they flocked to the front door and we couldn't get them all in here. We've got to go set up the tent. Who are the kingdom advancers that are going to meet with all those who are broken? And knowing how to pray, that's why you need to be equipped. You need to know who you are in Christ. It's no longer time to be sitting. It's time to be awake and pursuing the kingdom. Be in intercession, be in prayer, seeking God, reading your scriptures. I get it, we all have stuff, but if you're consumed by the things of this earth, he says, when I plant the seed in you, remember the example of the parable, what steals the seed? The cares of life, the things of the lies that the enemy throws, the circumstances that seem too unbearable, they steal the seed. But there is a seed that lands in the right place hundredfold. So my encouragement to us is we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we need to pursue more and more asking the Spirit to bring revelation of truth. And when that happens, you're gonna have a lot of fun. Right? You're going to have a lot of fun. It's every week, instead of waking up in the morning and saying, I got this and this and this and this to do, and yeah, I'm going to take Jesus with me on the journey. No, Jesus is the journey, and you're walking with him. You want to ask him, so what's on your agenda today? I was planning to go to motor vehicle. I was going here. I was going there, going to the dentist. I had an amazing time at the dentist this week, believe it or not. Didn't have any cavities, praise the Lord. But my hygienist, when I could talk, every time pouring out her heart to me, asking for prayer. We went to the bank. Suhadi and I went to the bank this week for a thing we're opening up for the church. And the man who normally meets with us went home sick. So the bank president, the bank branch manager, is there. And you know, when you're getting vetted for bank account thing, who are you? What do you do? How long you been in ministry? How long has the church been there? What's your income? What's that? Blah, 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 right? Well, I just asked, I said, so do you have any children? He lowered his head. He goes, oh, man, it's such a hard time. We've had multiple miscarriages. My wife's got this diagnosis. I want to elaborate on it. She's really depressed and sad. All of our friends are having babies. And so I look at Sue Haiti. I said, divine appointment.
Did you pray for her?
We did. Him. So here's the wild thing about this. So I said, would it be all right if we prayed for you? He goes, man, I need to get back in church. I used to be so active in the church, but I'm just, you know, so much going on in my life, and we haven't been there. And I said, that's okay. Can we pray for you? So at the end, I said, I pulled out my oil. I said, I don't know if you're familiar with this. It says, if any suffering among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint with oil, and the prayer that we offer in faith shall sozo, save, heal, and deliver the sick. And all of us, if suffering something, would that be all right if I put a little oil on you? And it says, if two of us agree, is touching, can Sue Haiti and I lay hands on you? Yeah. I said, what's the desire of your heart? I want my wife to get pregnant. I said, well, God, that's a gift from God. I get it. It's so hard. She goes, yeah, she's been depressed and sad. And I said, okay. So we finish our stuff. Now, all glass. His bank manager faces all the tellers. We get up and I anoint him with oil. He bows his head. We're laying hands on him. And the tellers are looking like, because I'm doing one of these things. Like, right? And he was so touched and moved. So would you agree with me? There's going to be a baby born. Lord, I pray, the desire of your heart, right? Psalm 37. Trust the Lord and do good. He'll give you the desires of your heart, but wait patiently. Now, I realize there's some that have been waiting and waiting and like, okay. And I met with a missionary recently from another church. We were doing prayer ministry. He's heading back to a place where there is unreached people groups. And he said, look, we couldn't have children, so we've adopted. I said, that'll work, right? So when we start looking at the advancement of the kingdom and your assignments, here's some things I suggest that we look at for actions to advance the kingdom. Be born again. You must be born again because Jesus tells us you can't see the kingdom if you're not. Receive the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit, number two. Number three, continue in the word of truth. Become freer and freer and freer. We're talking about identity. When we really grab hold of our true identity in Christ, then witnessing becomes more natural. We know who we are in Christ. The fear of man, the fear of not being smart enough, don't know enough scripture, you got it, it's in there. He'll give you what you need to say. Let your light shine before others. You know that you're the light on the hill. I shared this. You're the light bearers. Use the gifts of influence in your finances. Wherever they plant you, you have people in your sphere of influence. Receive that revelation of who you are in Christ. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. So I want us to prepare. This coming weekend, we're going to have an evangelist here, Ben Williams, Friday night. He wrote a book, Robbing Hell. He also wrote a book, Evangelism for the Introvert. And he's probably going to encourage us to step out. I shared a couple of weeks ago when I was sitting right there and Richie Seltzer laid hands on me and I fell out and laid out there for a while. And I got a picture that I was supposed to go, as an assignment, I was supposed to go witness to the barista down at Port City, Java. And so it was Friday night. Saturday came, we're getting ready to do Saturday night with the other speakers, and my wife and I, we were running around town, and I hadn't gone to the Port City, and at 4:00 in the afternoon, the speaker for that night, Marcus, calls me and says, Pastor, can we share some scriptures on being obedient to God? I said, yeah, well, I'll read those. As I turned to my wife, I said, I'm going to Port City. I went to two of them, and both received. I went to the one at the New Harris Theater, but the one he had told me about that I hadn't been in months, I went in there, and the barista behind the counter, I bought a muffin so I didn't look really strange. You know, I go up there, can I have one of those muffins? I think it was still on a fast, but I didn't eat it. Anyway, so I said, I was at church last night, and I felt like the Lord told me I was supposed to come to pray for the to the barista behind the counter. And she looked at me and she put her head on the counter and started weeping. I'm talking weeping. Handed me her hand, and the Lord downloaded and gave me a word for her. And both of us were like, and then she, okay, thank you. And she runs to the back, right? And I'm like, okay, God, I don't know why this should be so hard. I'm encouraged. And so he walks like, God, I heard from you. That's good, right? Yeah, it's really good when your pastor hears from God. You should celebrate that. I don't want it to be rare, you know. But my point is, you got the same kingdom and the same Holy Ghost. And some of you are positioned in right places, in hospitals and in schools and in places in the community, that you carry a light that can transform a person's life to live forever. Why are we afraid? No more fear. Yeah, so we're going to play a song. I've asked Daniel, we can't do this on live stream, so we're probably going to have to go off live stream. But I really want to invite the ministry team, and I'm going to need some catchers because I believe the response. There's a song called At the Altar that Sarah Bramstead sent me. It's by Elevation. When you listen to the lyrics, and I felt when we were worshiping today, I had some words of knowledge. Lord just started giving me, the way he does it with me, gives me some pictures sometimes of body parts and stuff. I saw a bruised heart as if someone had punched the heart and it had a black and blue mark in it. But I also saw a heart that had a, like scar tissue, almost like you could see the scar in the heart. That's an old wound. Because you've been stabbed in betrayal. And I felt like the Lord wants to heal the bruised and broken. He wants to heal those who have been betrayed. Those who have had broken trust. Those who are numb. I also saw someone that just said, I don't think I can feel this. When we have been wounded to a place, the Lord wants to heal those hearts. But my wife and I have also been experiencing, I don't know if someone's, anybody got ankle pain? Ankles that have been like, hard to walk in? One there? Okay. How about hands that, like, pain in these extremities here, or numbness in the extremities? I just feel like the Lord wants to do something. I know James is standing. He's been in the hospital. He needs, so there's an intestinal situation or digestive system, right? So we're going to ask the Lord. So I want to invite the ministry team to come. But the lyrics of this song are really powerful. Come and lay down your broken dreams at the altar. It's called At the Altar. Every victory is at the altar. Fear and anxiety. If you're bound up by fear, fear of man, fear of not having enough, fear of not being good enough, fear of whatever the fear is. We know from 1 John 4:18, perfect love expels fear. Fear that I won't have enough finances for the future. Let your heart sing out. Tell him that you love him. Don't make it perfect. Just be honest. You don't have to be perfect. Just be honest. There's no waste at the altar. He can use anything. Fear and anxiety can't live at that altar. There's no waste at the altar. Let your heart sing out. Tell him that you love him. Tears of the desperate reach to the feet of the Savior. See, desperation opens the door to the supernatural. We see that in Mark chapter 5. We got three people. The Gadarene demoniac with 6,000 demons. The woman with the issue of blood. Jairus' daughter who's dying, is about to die and be raised from the dead. Those people were desperate and got to the feet of Jesus, and he answered their prayer. I don't know what you're desperate about, but it's time for the desperate ones to come and say, I need you to help me. There's something humbling in that humility. Let your heart sing out. Tell him that you love him. There's no waste at the altar. Things that I've treasured that I can't seem to get my hands on, and it's that place where His presence changes everything. So I'm going to ask if some of our men would catch, but if you're here this morning and that is anything that's on your list, we also had an invitation if you're not born again. You heard the word from Kyle. Whatever's blocking, whatever's hindering, whatever's holding back, that darkness, that eclipse, that darkness of the kingdoms of darkness have blinded them that they cannot see the light. And men love darkness more than they loved light, that you, Matthew 5, would set your light on a hill and let all of them see it. So whatever's hindering, whatever's fear.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.